Now, although I didn't really watch much Monty Python while it was actively being created, I have found a lot of what I've seen pretty funny. Now, I should mention that by mentioning that show, it doesn't mean I recommend Christians imbibe it indiscriminately. They definitely were talented comedians, but not apparently Christian ones. And there's some material that likely falls afoul of Psalm 101, verses 3 and 4. I will not set before my eyes anything that is worthless. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. A perverse heart shall be far from me. I will know nothing of evil. Keep those words in mind if you start watching some Monty Python. In either case, one skit worth viewing, if you've got a wax sense of humor like me, is the Ministry of Silly Walks. Now, per Wikipedia, I assume it's safe for something like this. Per Wikipedia, the Ministry of Silly Walks is a sketch from the Monty Python comedy troupe's television show, Monty Python's Flying Circus, episode 14, if you want to find it easy, which is entitled Face the Press. The episode first aired in 1970. A shortened version, by the way, I would have been six, which kind of explains what I said earlier on. A shortened version of the sketch was performed by Monty Python Live, or I'm sorry, performed for Monty Python Live at the Hollywood Bowl. This sketch involves John Cleese as a bowler-hatted civil servant in a fictitious British government ministry responsible for developing silly walks through grants. Cleese, throughout the sketch, walks in a variety of silly ways. It is these various silly walks, more than the dialogue, that has earned the sketch its popularity. Well, since my sermons are presently only audio, I cannot give you a visual, especially since I have very long legs and want to knock over a bunch of stuff in this room where I'm preaching right now. But it is funny, and it came to mind with today's sermon entitled, Where You Once Walked. Where You Once Walked. The seventh in an 11-part series on the book of Colossians. Now, why did it come to mind? Well, let's walk, to use a pun, through Colossians quickly to answer that. Please open up your Bibles to that book. So let's turn to Colossians and go to Colossians 1, because what we're going to do is look at each chapter quickly. Colossians. Okay. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Are you there? Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. And I don't know if it was intentional, especially since, remember, Paul did not write his books in chapters. But I don't know if it was intentional for Paul to spread out these verses in force, maybe. But every one of those chapters has a walk verse. For instance, let's turn to Colossians 1. We're going to look at verses 9 and 10. Colossians 1, 9 and 10. And so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Now, listen to this. So as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, pleasing, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Okay, you read those with me. How are you supposed to walk? How are we supposed to walk? That's right, in a manner worthy of the Lord. In a manner worthy of the Lord. And that's no small thing, is it? However, I can assure you, Paul would have not prayed that the church at Colossae be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord if it wasn't possible for them or for you and me. So chapter 1 tells us to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, and we can do it. How about chapter 2? What can we learn about walking in it? Chapter 2, verses 6 and 7 tell us, so turn a page or maybe two, depending on how big a print you have in your Bibles. As I get older, mine needs to get bigger. So chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. Therefore, As you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you are taught, abounding in thanksgiving. From Colossians chapter 2, we learn that not only are we to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, we are to walk in him. Now, walk in him seems a bit of an odd expression to me, and I really like, maybe it'll help you too, I really like the way Robert Wall in Colossians and Philemon explained it. And this is what he wrote. In contrast, the next phrase, continue to live in him, is stated in the imperative mood, asserting the behavior that logically and necessarily must result from the theological conviction that Jesus Christ is Lord of all things. Among Aboriginal people in Australia, males go on a walkabout as part of their rite of passage into manhood. They travel alone across their land and become familiar with it, and thus a part of it. The Greek word for live, and I'm not going to try to read the transliteration, literally means to, and these are in quotes, walk about. Walk about. According to Paul, our trust in the received gospel of God's grace through Christ results in a walkabout in him. We become familiar with him and a part of him. The apostle often sets indicative statements about God's salvation next to imperative statements about our response to God in order to show their close, even logical relationship. To embrace the truth about God's Christ is to live in him. Did that help you? I suppose some of the appeal of Wall's description of walk in him, or as said in the translation he was commenting on, continue to live in him, same expression in the Greek, is because I spent a couple of years working in Australia and have fond memories of that great country and its people, who are also great. However, even putting aside that positive prejudice, Wall's explanation helps me understand what a Christian life is supposed to be like with the Lord. We need to walk about in him. We become familiar with him and a part of him. That's kind of neat. It's kind of neat. And what's actually even, I don't want to say more neat, but also neat, is how it connects with Jesus' prayer 2,000 years ago, specifically for you and me. When you read a lot of what Jesus is doing, he's praying about the people right then and there. But he actually, at least one time, perhaps more, but at least one time, the words were specific to you and me. I'm going to read it. You don't have to turn to it, but take notes, and I will put up the sermon notes later today. I do not ask for these only. This is John 17, verses 20 through 23. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. That's you. That's me. That they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me. Listen to this. Are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you loved me. We need to walk in him. Him, of course, being Jesus. We need to walk in him, become so familiar with him and so like him that we can be in the Godhead. To be one with the one, capital O, to be one with the one who made atonement, the at one meant possible with a cross. Now that's a walk I can really get into. Now as we continue, is it okay if I say walkabout? As we continue our walkabout in Colossians, let's look at Colossians chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. Colossians chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. And if you've been wise and kept your Bibles open, this shouldn't be too hard. You there? Walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. Walk in wisdom toward outsiders. So with this addition, our walkabout in Colossians has given us: walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, walk in Him, walk in wisdom toward outsiders. When you consider these admonitions, how is your walk with the Lord? Do you always walk in a manner worthy of the Lord? Do you always walk in Him? Do you always walk in wisdom toward outsiders? Most of the time? Some of the time? Not so much? Please keep your answers in mind as we continue our walkabout in Colossians. And you may be scratching your heads a little bit. I started off this section of my talk saying each chapter has a walk verse, yet I jumped, not walked, I jumped from chapter 2 to chapter 4. How about chapter 3? What's its walk verse? Well, the reason I saved it is because it's part of Colossians. I mean, I should say, today's part of Colossians, as we go through the entire book and the sermon series, today's part of Colossians is in chapter 3, and its walk verse, chapter 3's walk verse, is right in the middle of today's selection, which we'll read together right now. So, please turn back from chapter 4 to chapter 3. We're going to look at verses 1 through 11. Verses 1 through 11. Okay, let's go ahead. Therefore, when we could... Well, actually, you know what? That is not it. Somehow, when I flipped my... I'm going to blame my Bible. Somehow, I got all the way to 1 Thessalonians. Let me turn there. Okay. Colossians chapter 3, 1 through 11. If you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind, set your minds on things that are above, not things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly on you, in you. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked, when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Did you catch the walk verse? I hope so, because I kind of put some emphasis on it. Did you catch the walk verse? Unlike the other three in Colossians, it wasn't a command to walk a certain way. Instead, it was an admonition to not return to walking an old way, the way the old self walked. Paul says to put to death what is earthly in you. Then he lists some of those earthly characteristics and then reminds the Colossians and us and you and me that in these we too once walked when we were living in them. Notice were is past tense. We were living in them. We once walked in them, but we do not live in them now, and we do not walk in them now. Or do we? Did you pay attention to his we don't lists before and after in these you once walked when you were living in them? Sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk, and lying. Now, a short while ago I asked you how your walk with the Lord is when you consider Colossians' admonitions to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, walk in Him, walk in wisdom towards outsiders. Now that you have a larger list of things not to walk in, how do you fare? Now, I really can't imagine that anyone listening is wrestling with all of them, but I do suspect there are some entries that loop in a bunch of us. Do you lie? Ever lie? Do you lie? Do you use coarse words or tell dirty jokes? Or perhaps laugh at them when you shouldn't? Do you ever backbite people? Do you have an unhealthy anger toward anyone? Do you gossip? Are you having sex outside of marriage? Your marriage? Do you wish ill on someone else who has wronged you? Do you really, really want something, and it's not the Lord? Then in those respects, and maybe overall, you are not walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. You are not walking in Him. And you are not walking in wisdom toward outsiders who see your unworthy walk outside of Him. Now, this part of Colossians is not the only place in the Bible, or even in Paul, that gives a list of ways a saved person should behave, or not behave, I should say. Some are short, and some are long. For instance, let's go back just a couple books to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 3 and 4. Ephesians 5, verses 3 and 4. Since it was close, are you there? Ephesians 5, verses 3 and 4. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as it is proper among the saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. Did that, or those couple verses in Ephesians sound familiar? A walk worthy of the Lord does not include sexual immorality, impurity, covetousness, filthiness, foolish talk, or crude joking. Let's stick with Paul. Let's turn to Galatians. So let's head back towards Colossians. Well, actually, what am I saying? Head back one book from Ephesians. Look at Galatians chapter 5. We're going to look at verses 16 through 22. Galatians 5. 16 through 22. Are you there? Let me pick up my Bible, get a little better lighting. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Those final words are kind of scary, aren't they? I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. By the way, did you notice? We had another walk verse in there. Okay, it wasn't in Colossians, but we're going to keep it. We need to, from Colossians, walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, walk in Him, walk in wisdom towards outsiders, and now, walk by the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit. And if we do, we will not gratify the desires of the flesh. And we will not practice the works of the flesh. Like, and some of these are going to be familiar again, sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, and orgies. How do you do with that list? Especially, which I didn't put on when I was reading the bullets from it, especially if you add Paul's final entry and things like these. Just because we didn't hit your problem straight on the nail and the head of the nail doesn't mean it's not included and things like these. And Paul is not alone in providing lists. Let's turn to Mark chapter 7, 20 through 23. Mark chapter 7, 20 through 23. Matthew, Mark. There we go. Chapter 7, 20 through 23. Are you there? And he said, what comes out of a person is what defiles him. Who do you think he is in this case? It's Jesus, of course. And he said, what comes out of a person is what defiles him. For from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person. Now again, we have some common items. We humans clearly have a problem with sexual immorality and coveting. But did Jesus loop you in with new ones like evil thoughts, theft? Have you ever stolen anything? Envy, pride, or foolishness? Those lists are horrendous, aren't they? But that's not us. We once walked in these things back when we lived in them. But that's not us! And why don't we do them anymore? Heading back to today's verses. Let's go back to Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. Colossians 3, verse 1. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Chapter 3, verse 1. Actually, we're going to look at verses 1 through 4. Are we there? Why don't we live them in them anymore? If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, you will also appear with him in glory. We do not walk in them anymore because we have been raised with Christ and seek the things that are above. We set our minds on the things that are above, not on the things that are on earth. We have died. Our life is hidden with Christ in God. Christ is our life. Four words. Christ is our life. We walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. We walk in Him. We walk in wisdom toward outsiders. We walk by the Spirit. And as such, looking back to those verses we just read, and as such, when Christ comes, we also will appear with Him in glory. We know that our old self was crucified with Him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with Him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over Him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourself dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 6, verses 6 through 11. We have put off our old self. We are no longer enslaved to sin. We have been set free from sin. We live in Him. We are dead to sin and alive in God in Christ Jesus. We are dead to sin and alive in God in Christ Jesus. what I just did was an exercise in positive thinking, right? I mean, did you hear it like I said it, knowing full well how short you come of the mark? The good news is that our Lord knows how weak we are and does not expect our walkabout in Him to result in perfection overnight. Additionally, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. But we have to remember that although our forgiving, faithful, cleansing Lord has produced many godly ministries here on earth. He has produced many godly ministries here on earth, and I pray that Tratadors is one of them. The vast majority of the world is a ministry of silly walks. Let me repeat that. The vast majority of the world and what the world has to offer is a ministry of silly walks. They want you to walk their silly way. They will tempt you to walk their silly way. They will encourage you to walk their silly way. They will bribe you to walk their silly way. They will browbeat you to walk their silly way. They will deceive you to walk their silly way. They will punish you to walk their silly way. And they have a smorgasbord, a whole smorgasbord of walks to offer. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. The world has a whole smorgasbord of walks to offer. They are not walks worthy of Him. They are not walks worthy of Him. They are not walks in Him. They are not walks that are wise toward outsiders. They are not walks by the Spirit. They are walks that we used to walk. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. They are walks that lead to death. They are silly walks. Deadly silly. Dear least important church, don't go back to the silly walks you used to walk.